I think both are very significant. I think market expectations around the BOJ were starting to get hard baked into towards further stimulus, and I think markets are going to have to digest this now. So although we've not seen a negative reaction, I think over time the liquidity conditions that result from a restraint, if you like, from further stimulus by the BOJ will have ramifications. I think for the Fed it was pretty much par for the course. I don't think there are any great surprises in that. We saw a little bit of dissension, but no real surprises. I think the balance in the US between inflation and deflation has moved slightly in favor of inflationary forces, or less deflation, if you like, in terms of import prices. So I think the Fed are priming for a December rate increase, but I don't think that's really going to surprise anyone.
So pretty bullish in the short term, do you think?
I think markets have certainly had a lot of good momentum, certainly since 23rd of June, Brexit. Interesting thing is since that point in time, the flows that we've seen to emerging markets have remained in those markets, despite there being at different times a certain amount of hawkishness in some of the sentiment coming from policymakers. And that contrasts quite sharply with what we saw at the end of last year in the prelude to the run-up to the rate increase in the US and what we saw during the taper tantrum. So in some ways, it's showing a little more conviction, I think, for diversification internationally.
Is the dividing line for emerging markets that if we start to see the Fed moving to raise interest rates, if the economy is very strong, then the money may stay in emerging markets. But if that balance is not right, if they are moving to raise because of normalization concerns instead of really strong data, that maybe the money does run out?
Yeah, I think that's a component, but I also think this is also more structural in terms of rebalancing. I think investors have up until pretty much the summer been very underweight many emerging markets. We've seen strength in the currencies, of course. We've seen somewhat of a recovery in commodities, and we know some emerging markets are quite dependent on that. And we've seen relatively benign credit conditions. So I would say it's partly, as you suggest, contingent on whether or not rate increases are driven by an outlook for growth or a need to return to normalization, but also partly because of a rebalancing requirement.
I think living out here, we're quite interested in the practical applications of this BOJ move. Now, in the event of the market testing the BOJ, the central bank would really need unlimited resources, really, to defend this position. And potentially, you would think that could be very bearish for the yen, which, in a sense, is what the Japanese authorities want. So it's almost like, come to my sandbox and play.
Well, you would think, but so far, or certainly since the negative interest rate policy has been put in place, for example, the reaction from the market has surprised both the BOJ, certainly Abe, and many participants in the market, in that we've seen an extremely strong rally this year in the Japanese yen, as investors have basically taken it as a signal things are going to continue to be sluggish in Japan, and that this is the, if you like, it's the safe bet.
Let's just finish with a short discussion about China. We've had actually a little bit of boring action, low volatility in terms of movements in the currency and also movements in stocks. Now, that may play into exactly what the Chinese authorities want. They want stability. How long does that last?
Well, you've gone from, you just talked about effectively regulating rates in Japan, to another highly interventionalist set up in China, where you've got a huge overhang of stocks in the market as a result of that, the national team buying in the equity market, and you've got tremendous intervention now in the currency market to keep that stable. So it lasts as long as the authorities are willing to stand by those commitments, and we think that will be for some time longer. Of course, the consequences are quite severe. If the PBOC pulls back from defending the currency, that is very deflationary globally. So there'll be a lot of concern around that. And of course, QE in China, it's not just about China. It's also providing liquidity regionally and globally. So both of those features in terms of intervention from the central bank will continue to be a key point of focus for many investors. So in the absence of any change there, I don't think investors are going to be flocking back to the Chinese equity markets. I think the main story around China today is the ability for institutions, individuals to diversify, get the money out of the banks, put it to work as we've seen in property, but also for institutions to get money offshore. And we're seeing with the Hong Kong Shanghai Connect and the forthcoming Shenzhen Connect, we're likely to see more money flowing south.